Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that
everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave no one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. It is 3 and Out. It's brought to you today by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union as we get you going on NCAA Tournament Week and have so much to get into. What a weekend.
Yeah, what a weekend.
Just a reminder, we haven't, done this show since Friday. So Tennessee has played 3 basketball games since then. A tournament bracket's come out. Champions in the conference tournament have been crowned. And I'm sure Houston needs to update you on all the Bassmaster Classic results. So it's an action-packed show today. I mean, no doubt about it.
Big, Houston, big weekend.
I don't even know. I almost said, how's your weekend? How was your weekend? But I don't. Sounds like a pretty loaded. You might need the next 3 hours just to go to answer that question.
Yeah,
I guess that's just what we're gonna do today, right? We're gonna answer that question. How was the weekend? And then begin to profile moving forward. What do we think about Tennessee and the tournament tipping off Thursday? Of course, their first game is gonna be Friday afternoon. From Columbus, Ohio.
Boy, Saturday was great, right? I mean, that was a fun day. How about Saturday? Man. What a game. Can we just talk about that? We'll just talk about that one.
Just kind of go back in time and pretend we're just doing Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday night.
Yeah. Just talk Kentucky. Why not? It's really the only one I want to talk about. So, good job, everyone.
They didn't play well against Kentucky.
They did.
They showed us. They showed us they're the team that can play at that high level.
Is that their best and worst games of the season?
Back to back.
Just in less than 24 hours? Is that a stretch? Is that crazy to say that might have been what we witnessed? That might have been the best game Tennessee plays all year and then the worst game?
It's kind of weird because you had your best game on the road, then you kind of had your worst game at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way.
Yeah. That's the first time we've lost in those jerseys, by the way. Those throwbacks. Mm. 85%, 90% Tennessee crowd. Nashville, Tennessee. And the Vols came out yesterday and laid an egg. Biggin.
I just pulled up the Kentucky box score. I thought we were going to stay on the
we could do that first. Then.
The high of that.
I don't know. Should we do good news, bad news, or bad news, good news?
I don't know. The good news is
it's all behind
the tournament starts tomorrow. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with a little first four action tomorrow. The tournament starts tomorrow. So yes. We got that right around the corner. But for now, I don't think it matters. I mean, everybody knows what happened. Tennessee beat Kentucky on Saturday, 82-78. It was a comeback win for the ages, except no one will probably remember it that much because on Sunday, you lost to Auburn by 20, and I felt like it wasn't even that close.
You can go back even further to Friday because Admiral Schofield killed a guy.
That's true.
He did. That was great. Man, that dunk. I couldn't fall asleep after that dunk. I had to get up at 3:30. I couldn't sleep because all I could think about was Admiral right foot, right hand all over that poor kid from Mississippi State.
Is that the best dunk in Tennessee basketball history?
No. You know what the best one is? People always forget about it because we lost that game. But Tyler Smith over that 7-footer from Arkansas the year the tournament went to Georgia Tech. Nastiest posterization dunk I've ever seen. It's hard to find. I did find it once deep diving on YouTube. But it's very hard to find. But that, to me, is the best one. Admirals, though, man, it's right there. If that guy from Mississippi State had been 7-foot, it probably would have been better.
It was just so perfect. I mean, he was lined up perfect. It was, I mean, it was everything you want in a posterization.
It was great. What was really awesome was, you know, he makes that jab step to the right, breaks out to the left, and I'm thinking, oh, he's going to get a layup off.
Mm-hmm.
Never did I expect him to take flight and slam that. Then the guy's heel is on the line of the interior circle, so it's definitely a block. It was the right call. And Andy Kennedy, we were talking about it last week, how good he is on the broadcast. In the middle of saying this arena is ready to explode, it's like he could sense it.
Yeah.
Good job, Andy. Nailed that one. Good job, Admiral. Nailed that one. Then Saturday, back and forth game with Kentucky. Tennessee finds himself down 8 with 2.5. And then that team, that 2.5-minute stretch, that's the one. That's what Villanova did to teams last year. They would just hit the gas, and that's what you saw. They're burying threes. They're going inside getting and-ones. Grant with a great and-one to foul out Reed Travis. Then he hits the corner three. Admiral hits the deep three to kind of get things started.
Yep.
And then Lamonte Turner, just all the voodoo. After missing, I think, his last 15 threes, buries the dagger from up top in the exact same spot he buried it last year in Rupp to beat Kentucky. And apparently that shot woke up Lamonte Turner and put the rest of the team asleep. Because yesterday, Lamonte Turner was the only guy that showed up. He was it. What did he give you yesterday? 21? Admiral Schofield gave you 4 points. 1 of 8 shooting. 4 points. One of his makes was an and one, so congrats on drawing the foul, I guess. But that was brutal, man. That hurt. Yesterday hurt. Yesterday was 40 minutes of this hurts. You get 2 fouls early on Jared Harper. He's sitting on the bench. Pearl's losing his jacket, losing his mind.
It was perfect.
Losing his hydration. And while Harper's sitting on the bench, I'm watching us, and we're not taking advantage of it. We're not scoring. We're not really keeping them from scoring. It's almost like it didn't matter, and it almost kind of focused Auburn a little bit more. I think Tennessee pushed the lead to what, like 5-6? And then with about—
God, I even forgot that. Yeah, Tennessee controlled the game early.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, yep, we're just going to keep kind of this pace. We're going to win by about 12. Everything's going to be just fine. And then something happened that does not happen to this team very often. I don't know the exact number, but I am 100% sure they had 7 turnovers on 9 possessions. It may have been 8 out of 10, and like 7 of those were in a row. 7 straight possessions with a turnover.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. I mean, that's— in fairness, that's what Auburn does. They turn you over. Like,
but they weren't pressing.
No, I know.
I mean, not really.
Well, that's
a little token, but most of those turnovers are in the half court.
No, that's what made it so frustrating. Like, Bone just dribbles it and loses it.
Yeah.
Turner just dribbles it, tries to switch hands, and bloop, there it goes, right into the hands of Bryce Brown. We could not make a post-entry pass without it getting deflected or stolen. We were bad on the wings just getting it to... It ended up being a turnover, but somebody on the left wing throws to the top, and the guy just goes back door. And
Bone.
The ball just sails.
Had to track it down.
Thank God. I mean, I don't really, I guess it didn't matter. Hell, maybe it would have been better if we had turned it over. But Tennessee turns it over 17 times.
Well, they had 12 in the first half. 12 and a half.
Well, yeah, when you do it seven times in nine possessions there in that last 10 minutes of the first half, first half number is going to be up there.
Oh, I thought it was seven straight possessions.
It might have been. It might have been. So maybe it was like 8 out of 10 possessions then and 7 in a row. Hadn't seen that from this team, especially doing what they did against Kentucky in Knoxville and yesterday where they didn't have more than 6. Do they have 6 turnovers against Kentucky on Saturday?
One game you had 9, the other you had 6.
But in Knoxville, they only had like 5, wasn't it? In Knoxville, you only had 5.
6 against Kentucky. Like what?
If it was 5, it might have been like 3. That was the weirdest part. Everyone's going to be mad at the defense, the three-point shooting. I totally get it. I am so frustrated with that offense. And to Auburn's credit, like they had the defensive juice. They were amped. They looked like a team playing with their hair on fire defensively. They were running. They were diving. They were in your face. They were getting back. I mean, it was perfect. And that's what was frustrating, too. It's like they've played an extra game. How are they more energetic? How are they more fired up? How are they faster to the ball? Why do they have so much more energy than you?
Yeah, I'm not buying the they're tired thing. Now, if you want to say it was
not now.
It was an emotional game against Kentucky, so that you know it's hard to have the same edge, whatever. Like, I agree with that. That's also why coaches make millions of dollars and why this team is everybody knew that. Like, everybody knew you had won a big emotional game against Kentucky and you were going to have to get back up for the Auburn game. That wasn't a secret. That wasn't I'm not going to make that excuse for these guys because they've done this before the last 2 years during regular moments during the season. This happened at Kentucky in what at that time was the biggest game of the year.
No,
I refuse to make excuses for this team not showing up during sometimes stretches and now at least twice this season for an entire game, basically. Because that's the thing. You mentioned it, and I had kind of forgotten. Tennessee had the lead early. It's not like this game started and Tennessee wasn't there, wasn't awake when it started. It started and Tennessee led for a while. But then it's like they just forget how to play basketball. And I don't get it. I have no answer. I'm done. You cannot trust this basketball team.
Yeah.
They can go.
That's what I said yesterday, man. I was just like, I can't trust them anymore.
They could win the first 3 games of their NCAA tournament bracket by 48 points each. And I still would be worried to death that they won't show up in the region final. Like, it just doesn't matter. As well as they can play at times, they have this bone inside of them that just quits on them. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know if this team's like too nice, so like they can't be mean. You know, they can't be mean 4 straight big games in a row. Like, what, can't play with the chip on? I don't know if it's somebody said, just make them a 16 seed. That way, every game they'll be the underdog. Like that, I think Billy Williford tweeted that out. Like, is it they can't handle being the favorite? You only get this
sounds pretty good.
You only get this us against the world Tennessee team that plays their best basketball when either they're the underdog or they're a favorite that people still don't believe in. And the problem was that maybe, I mean, this is just one hypothetical theory because there's really no answer. If there was an answer, I'm sure, you know, Rick Barnes would implement it and it would be fixed. You go on the road and you beat Florida in kind of a tough environment during the regular season because no one still believes in you, right? Even though you're the favorite in that game. Mm-hmm. Actually, you might have been the underdog. I don't know. But anyway, you go into the game yesterday and it's like, well, we slayed Kentucky. Everybody now is talking about us for a one seed. No one's going to put Kentucky ahead of us. We've made it. We have proven we're the best team in the SEC. But we got to go take care of business and beat Auburn. It's like they don't know how to operate in that mindset. And I had hoped when they went through being number one in the country for a month during the regular season, and you had Jimmy Dykes talking about how they're the best team in basketball, and you had, you know, at least some media members believing that you had made it, that this team of upperclassmen was just as good as the Dukes and the Kentuckys and the North Carolinas and the Gonzagas and all that stuff. I thought that having to take everyone's best shot then would prepare them and make sure that this didn't happen. If they had lost yesterday by 3, 4, 8, even 10 because you had to foul a little bit late, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Especially when Auburn hits, you know, all these three-point shots. When they're 15, when Auburn hits 15 threes, going to be tough to beat them. But you can't not show up in the SEC championship. Like, this is the one thing that this team still does not do well. They just are not consistent. They're woefully inconsistent. And I know you can point to other teams in the bracket and say, well, this team had a bad loss, and this team had a bad loss, and this team had a bad loss. I still don't think teams play as well as Tennessee does for a stretch and then just completely forget how to play basketball and turn it over 7 straight possessions or 7 out of whatever it was. Like, that's just ridiculous. And it's okay to be, you know, pleased with 29-5 and a 2 seed, but also be really upset and disappointing that for most of a basketball game, it's like they forgot how to play. In the biggest stage, in the biggest moment, at championship time, Bruce Pearl, they've got him mic'd up. He's saying all the right stuff.
Yep.
He's like, guys, this is it. This is your moment. This is when we're going to cut down the nets. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to cut down the nets. This is the moment. And it's fine, you know. And it's winning time, as Reggie Miller once said. It's winning time. And Bruce Pearl's going nuts. And Rick Barnes just sitting there. Just sitting there.
You know, if people listened to Voluntary Reaction today, yesterday, I apologize. I'm going to repeat a lot of the stuff I said because a lot of people probably didn't listen. But I don't mind that Rick Barnes isn't the most demonstrative coach. It's actually kind of nice when he's sitting there calm, cool, and collected, and we're just kicking somebody's ass. But when we're not, and the other coach is going nuts, it is the most soul-grating thing to me to watch the other coach have more pride, energy, passion, fire than our guy when we're getting beat. Like, at some point, you got to snap out of it. And listen, I'm not knocking Rick Barnes' style because obviously it works. Like, he's a great coach. I'm just saying, personally, when I'm watching the other coach go nuts and we're not playing particularly well, and I'm not saying there's a correlation, but there aren't that many, especially in this league. But, like, at Rupp, when Cal's losing his damn mind and we're just kind of chilling over there, hanging out, chewing sunflower seeds. Again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying that's why we lose. I'm just saying, it just makes me crazy right. When the other coach is doing that and we're not. When they're playing well and we're playing poorly. And I get it. That's not his style. It may have nothing to do with wins and losses. Personally, watching Bruce Pearl throw his jacket, grit his teeth, stomp out on the floor, watching his players tell him, hey, get back. We got you, coach. We got you, coach. And Rick's just... Now, but again, like when we're kicking somebody's ass and he's over there chewing sunflower seeds, I'm like, ha, 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 we don't even have to try. It's great. They just know what they're going to do. They know what they're supposed to do. But yesterday, it wore my patience a little thin.
What happened?
Dude, I don't know. They didn't show up.
Did they not realize this was the moment? I mean, did he forget to tell them in the locker room, hey, guys, if you win this one, you get a banner?
Dude, he shouldn't have to tell them that.
No, it's a joke. Most of the time, this happens the other way, where you like, I'm completely kidding.
I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe Rick's like, hey, you guys are playing for this all year. You got your shot. Now go get it.
Then what's wrong with these players?
I don't know. Especially, I mean, Auburn kept you from a regular season title a week ago. Like, this was a big-time revenge game. Oh, you beat us at Auburn by 4, cost us a regular season share of the championship. We're about to get that banner now. and that happened? First caller yesterday, his name was Jeff. He was an SEC fan, not a Tennessee fan.
Oh.
But he said Tennessee looked like they won the national championship when they beat Kentucky. That was your problem. You know, I said all year I would love to play Kentucky not in the final because I think that gives us the best chance of winning because Kentucky in the final is just a different animal, man. Like, the place is 95% blue, and there's so much pressure on that game. Like, give me Kentucky in the semis, and I think Tennessee would win. And they got it, and they did. And then Saturday, I predicted Auburn to come out of the other side of the bracket, and I'm thinking, especially after the way they played against Florida, okay, this is exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
Rematch game. It's not LSU. Like, you just beat Kentucky. You played the best 2.5 minutes in the history of Tennessee basketball. Like, just roll it out again. And they were absent. I think a lot of that had to do with Auburn. I think their defensive pressure was really, really good. And obviously, they hit 15 threes. What was our category here? What was our, how do you beat Tennessee if you're not an elite talent? What did we say? We've said it all year. Said you better shoot 35, 40 threes, and you better make 10 to 15 of them.
15 of 40.
That's SEC, what Auburn SEC shot. Championship game record, by the way. 15 threes. That's the formula.
Well,
when did we pick that up? Week two of the season? Oh, you want to beat Tennessee? Here's how you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to shoot 40 threes.
The problem is it's actually even a deeper issue than that, in my opinion. We'll get into it a little bit more coming up.
I'm just saying, add to that the fact that we didn't score and couldn't do anything offensively, and you get a blowout.
Yeah.
You gave up 84 to him in both games, didn't you? Went at 84-80 at Auburn?
It was.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
We're going to open up the phone lines in just a minute. If you'd like to join us, 865-546-8200. Before we go to break here, I want to give props to Westchester, who called in last Friday and said, what's the most Tennessee way this thing goes? I'm getting my cup ready, getting it cleaned, getting it inserted, getting ready to go for the weekend. Surely it's you beat Mississippi State, you beat Kentucky, and then Bruce Pearl's waiting for you in the final, and you can't get it done. Welcome to being a Tennessee fan. That was a good prediction, Westchester, and we tip our hat to you, even though we wish we didn't have to. We'll come back with more. Today's show is brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Go to tvacreditunion.com for all the services and how to learn how you can be a member and take advantage of their over 20 branches right here in East Tennessee. They've been serving members of this community for exactly 85 years.
Maybe a little over 85 years.
A little now, yeah.
85 and change now.
Yeah, working on the change. So check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, proud sponsors of our post-game coverage here on 3 and Out. We'll come back with more. We'll
lucky them.
Go to the phone line some. We'll give you more of our reaction. I think Tennessee has got big problems on defense and maybe bigger ones on offense as we then start to look at expectations and the path to having postseason success. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. It's Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. If you want to weigh in on the program today, 865-546-8200. It's time to get it all out. We got to get the complaints out. We got to get out the disappointment. Monday edition of 3 and Out is brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Like I said, if you lose to Auburn in a tough fall, tight SEC tournament championship where they hit 15 threes, then, yeah, it's still really disappointing. But it doesn't – like, I was angry at how the team played, how the coaching strategy for the game just seemed completely out of whack. I mean, how do you turn the ball over that many times? Like, I was at a loss. I mean, Grant had 4 turnovers. Admiral, 3. Lamonte, 4. Bone, 3. I mean, it was everybody. It was the entire team. Normally, this team, we talked about it all year, has, you know, a couple guys that play really well, and then you need one or two more to play really well, and you win. And yesterday, I don't know, Houston, do you want to start on offense or defense for Tennessee? You've won the toss. Which side would you like to start on? You said everybody's talking about the defense. You want to start on offense?
Let's start defense.
All right. We've said it all year that the way for Tennessee to get beat, especially by teams that aren't as good as Tennessee, and what I at least mean by that is the teams that don't have the five-star talent or the 4 and 5 stars, the 1 and dones. Like when you play teams that have recruited at least in your tier, the way those teams beat you is they have to take and make a bunch of 3-point shots, because around the basket, Tennessee has developed players that are so much better than they were when they rolled into school. Right? I mean, Grant Williams is back-to-back SEC player of the year. Around the basket, you're not going to have the advantage on him if you're, you know, not Kentucky, basically. You know, I mean, P.J. Washington and Grant Williams can be even on a given night, I guess. But when you're Auburn, like, you're at a disadvantage around the basket. So you have to take and make threes. That hasn't been a secret, and that's fine.
Well, and that's what they do all the time anyway.
And right, that's Auburn style. Everyone knows that coming in. So, but my big question and I guess issue moving into the NCAA tournament is I don't understand. It felt like to me that the plan was, okay, this is Auburn. They take a bunch of threes. Make sure you stay out on them and make sure we're right up in everybody's grill and we're right on top of them so that they can't get those looks. And the problem with that is then when you try and play tighter defense against a team like Auburn, and you're slower than them at probably 4 out of 5 spots, and you tighten up all the D, and they continue to start offense at the NBA 3-point line, now there's all this space between you and the basket. Tons of space. There was space everywhere. And when Auburn started to drive, now the help, if it tries to come, either has a hard time getting there, or even if it does, now you're leaving a kickout three that's so hard to close back out on. So tightening up, it makes sense in your head. It's like, well, Auburn shoots a bunch of threes. We got to make sure we're out there on them and tighter. But that really only helps you on the ball and when guys catch the pass. You need to be on the Auburn player when he has the basketball, so he can't pull up and shoot from three, and when he catches the basketball. You have to play defense in a way that doesn't allow them to push and pull your defense so that when they catch the ball, now they're open. And I felt like Tennessee, by trying to apply more pressure to Auburn, is actually completely the opposite of what you should try to do to limit their 3-point shooting. Now, I'll admit it. I mean, they had some shots with guys right in their face. But you give them that confidence when they get open looks in other points of the game. Then you combine it in the turnovers and the fact that they got wide open transition threes because your offense sucks so bad, and it's just a snowball. It's not one thing or the other. But in my opinion, the way for a slower team, and Tennessee's the slower team in this matchup, they might not be in other games, but in this game, Tennessee is much slower than Auburn just because they're smaller, they're quicker. The starting lineup for Tennessee is completely old school. It's really 2 guards, 2 forwards, and a center. And everybody else plays 3 guards and 2 forwards, or in Auburn's case, 4.5 guards, essentially. But, I mean, Kyle Alexander, if he's on the floor, like, that's trouble to begin with. So then that bumps Admiral to essentially guarding a guard who's quicker than he is. And then Grant's guarding a guy quicker than he is. And Lamonte is...
Who killed you again.
Lamonte... I will give Lamonte credit. His defense has gotten a whole lot better. But he still, when he's having to guard the quickest guy on the other team or the second quickest in this matchup, he's still slightly slower, and Bone's the only guy that's as fast or faster than his guy basically every night you play. So now at four spots, you got guys that all they have to do is one jab step and just go, and they're turning the corner. They're getting some angle on you, and Tennessee is so good at helping, sometimes they overhelp. Mm-hmm. So they start leaning. They start taking a step. Should I help? Should I help? And unlike Virginia, unlike a lot of other teams now that play more gap responsibility and help one pass away, Tennessee doesn't do that. Tennessee's help comes from two passes away, old school style, on the helpline, as Rod will call in and talk about, I'm sure. And once you, if you're two passes away in modern basketball and you take one step to, and even lean towards the ball handler, it's a kick and you're three steps away from the three-point shooter. To me, that's just the wrong way to play Auburn. And it's proven itself out multiple times now in this matchup. Like you just got owned by them this, like, what? And then what's the most common offensive aspect in college basketball right now? The ball screen, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's gonna ball screen you because when you set a ball screen, you don't even have to pass it. You don't risk a turnover on a pass. You can keep the ball in the hands of the player you want it to be in. And when you set a ball screen, the defense has to do something, right? They can't just man up and take something away. They have to go over. They have to go under. They have to switch. They have to do something.
And boy.
And when they do that, you can do whatever you want to try and score off of it.
And they did it. And we, for some reason, went back to switching everything. And every time Auburn wanted to get Bryce Brown or Jared Harper on Grant, you know, or Kyle, they just run that guy up to set the ball screen, and we switch, and we play right into their hand. And we hadn't done that. We had been switching nothing.
We've been hard hedge and go under. Yep. Go under your own, over the screen, under your own
guy.
Man,
we switched screens yesterday that weren't screens.
Right.
Like, guys just walked up there and stood, and the ball handler would just dribble to the other side of the guy, and we're just switching it.
So now even if you have Bone or Lamonte on the guy you want him on, all they have to do is run a ball screen and switch it, and now you might have John Fulkerson on, you know, Bryce Brown.
Which you did.
That's not going to work.
And then you have...
Who thought that was a good plan?
I don't know. And then you had Turner guarding Okiki. Makes no sense. You had Bone guarding Okiki or Bone guarding Dunbar in the paint because you switched everything. If you want to switch guard to guard, I'm fine with that, but you have to make that difference very clear.
We learned they can't do that. Alabama?
Don't say they can't do that if that's what you want them to do. They have done that.
Tennessee? No, I mean, what I'm saying is in other games against much weaker opponents, they switch in the middle of the season, and it almost cost them those. Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's the game I'm thinking about. They switched everything. It's Vanderbilt. They got spread out. Remember, Vanderbilt hit all the threes at Memorial?
No, yeah.
That was this game.
I know. That's what we're saying. But then they didn't do that, and that's what I want to know is why did we decide to switch everything yesterday?
Like, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to say, hey, Turner, Bowden, Bone, if you guys are out there and they screen for Harper or for Brown or for whoever, you can switch here, here, and here. Grant, if your guy runs up there, you better pin the screen man and let Bone go underneath and let Bowden go underneath and let Turner go underneath because we're not switching you off of Okiki. Although, in fairness, Grant on Okiki is not a great guard for us. He killed us again.
Every single
starter for Auburn, with the exception of McLemore, who only played 6 minutes, shot five threes or more. Okiki shot 9 and hit 5.
Dunbar, they had 3 in a row on Grant, and they just kept putting him on them.
I know. That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Like, what the hell are you? Get off your ass, coach!
Dunbar, 1 of 5. Harper, 1 of 8. And he only played 19 minutes. That one late was pretty big, though. And then, of course, Bryce Brown, 5 of 10. Then they bring Purifoy off the bench. He goes 2 of 3. McCormick comes out and hits 1 of 2. There's your 15 threes. And they had Doughty went 0 of 3.
I mean, an upward coach could watch Grant Williams getting roasted time after time after time and say, oh, your wristband's not the right color, buddy. We got to switch you onto this other guy. But nope, Tennessee just allowed Okiki to come down and keep taking the back-to-back SEC Player of the Year's lunch money. Like, what the hell are we doing? What I meant was
they're a horrible matchup for us.
What I meant is they can't switch screens and be successful against the teams that shoot threes this well.
No, I agree.
We saw it at Vanderbilt. We've seen it against Auburn before. And you're right. I don't know why they changed.
We're saying the same thing, man.
Right.
Like
I know.
We agree. Like, I agree with you. I mean, we're just coming at it from two different sides, but I don't know why we did that.
No sense.
it wasn't even a case where, hey, if the screen's really good and you just can't get underneath it, then we're going to, you know, then you'll just scream it out, hey, switch. But no, that's what I mean when I said we switched screens that weren't screens.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, oh, there's two people here and they're crossing. Switch it. Why? Why are we doing that? Because then that's exactly what happens. They got Brown on Fulkerson layup. This is not hard. This is basic basketball stuff.
Going right to the phone lines on the flip side, 865-546-8200 if you want to join the program. Quick break, and then we'll get right to your phone calls.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Join. 3 steps is a travel. So give me those 3 steps, ref. Get it? Give me 3. It's a basketball pun joke. I'm on it.
Final segment, hour number 1. Gonna get to your reaction over the weekend. Great win over Kentucky, and then you followed up with a complete dud against Auburn. Let's go to the phone lines, 865-546-8200. We got Jay up first today. What's up, Jay?
Guys, good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Jay. Good to hear you again.
Hey, yeah, good to hear you guys, man. Guys, if we don't make a deep run into the tournament, at least the Elite Eight, but, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, want to get to a Final Four, you know, think that this team should be able to get to a Final Four. But, you know, if we get bounced in a Sweet 16 or earlier, what's going to be the legacy of this team? Because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, up to this point, we've had 3 opportunities for a championship, in my opinion. You had it at 2 of them were on the road, granted, and that's tough. But you had it at LSU, you had it at Auburn, and then you had it yesterday. And all 3 you've blown, you've lost. And you've won, what, 25 games thus far, 29 games. You beat Kentucky 2 out of 3 times. You've been ranked number 1 for over a month. But what do you have to truly show for it?
Jay, to answer your question, it's the best team that won absolutely nothing, if that happens. Best team in Tennessee basketball history that didn't do anything.
I mean, when the big moment arose, they didn't really rise to the occasion. I mean, thus far, if you're being honest, they have when something was truly on the line, not just a big game, but a championship was on the line, this team has not answered the bell thus far.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can say that. I don't think that's a complete – I don't think you can throw a whole blanket over that. I mean, it was a huge game against Gonzaga, and they came through big time. It was a huge game on Saturday against Kentucky, and they came through big time. It's just that you can't trust them to show up at all. And that's what it is for me. It's not that they've lost those moments. It's that you're afraid that they might just be a turtle and put their head in the shell.
But, Nate, there was a truly championship on the line against LSU. There was truly a championship on the line against both times at Auburn. I'm not saying they can't win some big games, but when there has, like, actual been an actual title, regular season or tournament on the line in a game, I mean, I guess you can make the argument every game because you got to compile enough wins to get to win a title. But when that game was like, if you win this, you're going to win a title. If you lose this, you're going to blow it. You're not going to have a chance to win another. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. There's been I agree with you.
And they haven't shown up. I mean, it makes me wonder, guys, because look, you know, we got to see what we do in this tournament. But if we have another subpar showing or a disappointed showing in this tournament, I mean, Cincinnati ain't no joke.
Nope.
Okay. And if something like that happens, do you start to wonder if some of these Texas fans are going to be like, hey, you're going to win a lot of games, you're going to do it the right way, Rick's a nice guy, but in March, you know, it's not going to happen. He's not going to show up. Your teams aren't going to play that well. Because that's what Texas fans were preaching and have been saying all along, just wait till March.
Yeah, I mean, I already have concerns about that, Jay, because I watched the team play and I used to coach the sport. I mean, not near this level, and I'm not saying that Rick Barnes is he's a really good college coach, but I mean anybody that's ever been in coaching can watch that game on Saturday and look at it and say Tennessee did not have a good plan on defense. They got torched. And there are two to four things you could specifically point at and say this was not the right plan. And if it was a different plan, then they didn't execute the plan they had going in. So one of those two things is coaching. And on the offensive end, they ran – I mean, they've been running the same their same base motion just forever. I mean, even back to last year, I mean, it's the same stuff. And I just – I don't see a lot of like, okay, Auburn's doing this. Now we need to counter here. All Auburn did was front Grant Williams and try and play with their hair on fire. I mean, it was the defensive plan for Auburn was we're gonna front Grant Williams, and we're gonna try and get our hands on anything we can. We're gonna be everywhere, and it was Bruce Pearl just preaching passion and make sure we front Grant Williams and have the ball go over the top, and it worked like a charm. I don't know why everybody in the league hasn't fronted Grant Williams. Like, why wouldn't you front a 6'7" post player? I mean, it makes perfect sense. Really hard to throw the lob to a guy who's undersized, right? Mm-hmm. And you can even help on the backside.
Well, they're so quick that they can just zip right in there as soon as you try to lob it.
Yeah, you can help on the backside because this team doesn't shoot the three like a lot of these the newer age, you know, where four or five guys are all shooting threes. You know, a lot of times that guy on the backside was Kyle's defender, who doesn't have to worry about Kyle shooting a three at all, or Fulkerson's.
Or scoring in general.
I mean, I think Auburn basically blueprinted just how you beat Tennessee. I mean, like Colgate is going to watch that game and go, okay, front Grant Williams, shoot threes, do, you know, and make sure that we take away this stuff on the other end. And they, you know, Tennessee will probably still beat Colgate, but they're gonna just take that playbook that Auburn ran and try and replicate it.
Well, you're right, and I guess one good thing is at least Grant Williams acknowledged that in his post-game comments. He flat out said, this is, you know, Auburn has put the video out. This is what teams are going to try to do to us in the tournament, and we can't let that happen. And I guess that's good that he acknowledges at least, but I understand, guys. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. Like, I think we could beat anybody by 40, and I think we could also get routed by some good teams. It's just you don't really know what's going to happen.
Thanks for the call, Jay. Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's where we are.
That's
the problem.
Like, that is exactly what it is right now.
Looking at the numbers, and as of yesterday, Rick Barnes moves to 1-8 in conference tournament championships. His last one was in the spring of 94, so he's not won a conference tournament even in my lifetime.
1-8.
Brian just sent me a tweet. I had missed this yesterday. Rick Barnes, after the game, said this: right from the beginning, I told the coaches I thought we looked like we were drained a little bit, and I thought the guys did everything they could to get going before the game. So they were tired or emotionally drained. I'm assuming that means both physical and emotional. But, like, being emotionally spent, I can kind of get it. Physically, though, like Auburn, that was their fourth game. This is your third. Now, granted, they got they got one snoozer.
I mean, they went down the wire with Florida. I mean, they probably should have been like in overtime with Florida when that call at the end of the game. No call.
We were talking about this during the break. Like, is it because we are bigger, because we have Grant and Admiral and Kyle? Is three games in 3 days just a lot, whereas Auburn, the guard-heavy, just super athletic team, like they just don't get as tired? You know what I mean? It's like you go play pickup at the gym, right? And there's those little guys who can just – they can play 10 games in a row at the Y. It's like, we're fine, whatever. I'll just keep running it up. And then the big guys, it's like, oh, I need a break. Time for some water.
No, man, like
– it's not that they're not good. It's just is it that much harder on the big guys to play three games in 3 days and us being big cost us?
I don't think so.
I'm not
buying
it.
Look at those guys going to fat camp. Look at them now. I mean, they're in as great a shape as a lot of the other guards.
I'm not buying it because they did the same thing when they went to Rupp Arena, where they emotionally drained then when they went to Rupp for the biggest game of the year. Like, this team just has a problem with not showing up for – they also had the lead. They had the lead to start the game for a while. It wasn't, I mean, well, not 2-0.
That would make sense if you get tired as the game starts.
I guess. We'll kick off hour two. If you want to call us, 865-546-8200. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio.